Our scripture reading this morning will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. Glad to see especially our visitors. You are honored guests, so glad that you're here. I want to take the time to invite you to come back at any time that you have that opportunity. I had the privilege yesterday of being in Dripping Springs, Texas, and speaking to several young people concerning communications. We talked yesterday about taming the tongue, and we talked about cross appeal, what a person's appearance says about them concerning God's Word. And we talked about the music that they listen to. As I began to study and get ready for that opportunity to speak to those young people concerning the tongue, I began to think about how needed that lesson is, not only for young people, but for all of us, considering taming our tongues. Now, Luke just read for us Ephesians 4, and verse 29, I want us to turn to James chapter 3. James 3. James dedicates nearly an entire chapter writing unto Christians about taming their tongues. And James wasn't just writing to young people. James was writing to all Christians that would read this book. James chapter 1 and verse 1, he writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Friends, that's not the literal 12 tribes of Jerusalem. That's Christians to whom he's writing. Those that have been scattered by persecution. And in James chapter 3, he addresses matters of the tongue. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 12, and then we'll get into our lesson. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we read, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Friends, the tongue, as used in this text and in our lesson, is a specific organ of the body used for speech. We know that. The tongue is so small, and yet it can be so powerful. You notice the description that James gives in James chapter 3. It's compared, number one, to a small controlling bit in the horse's mouth. You take a horse that weighs 1,000 pounds or better, and you're putting something that weighs maybe just a few ounces in his mouth, and with that, attached to reins, you can turn that horse wherever you want him to go. You take the next comparison. He says the tongue is compared to a small rudder that controls a ship. I don't know if you've ever been on a ship or a cruise ship, but you think, even if you're just on a pontoon boat or a regular boat, you think about how small the steering wheel is or the helm or even just the rudder or the motor compared to the rest of the boat. And how that controls where you go. That controls your destination. Friends, let that be a lesson to us. Considering the bit in the horse's mouth and the helm that controls the ship, our tongues, if not careful, friends, can control our destinations. We must be guarded in our speech. The tongue is also compared there in James chapter 3 to a small flame. I enjoy camping. I enjoy sitting around a campfire. I enjoy having that fire there before us and being able just to sit around the fire and visit one another and talk. I like that. But you know what you're constantly doing as you're sitting around the fire? You're constantly feeding it. You're constantly putting in sticks or logs. Why is that? Because that fire, it goes through those things very quickly. It consumes them. And so in order to keep your fire going, you continually have to feed it. And in just a short amount of time, you realize you've used a great amount of wood. Another picture that we might see there is just a spark. And that spark ignites something, and all of a sudden you have this great conflagration. You have this great huge fire that can't be put out hardly. Friends, that's a picture of the tongue. That's a picture of our tongues, and we must be guarded concerning it. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, James says that the tongue is a small member and yet boasts great things. You ever let your mouth get you in trouble? I'm sure all of us have at some point or another. We say something without thinking it through. You know, I asked that question concerning a lot of the teenagers yesterday, and I said, how many of you ever said anything without thinking? And just about everybody raised their hands. And it's kind of a trick question, wasn't it? You can't say something without thinking about it, friends. You may not have thought it through. You may not have thought about the consequences of what you were about to say, but you thought those words. And so the Bible is true when it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Friends, be careful of your words. Choose them carefully. Because once they are out there, you can't bring them back. I heard several times growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I know we've all heard that saying. Friends, it's such a saying could not be further from the truth. Words may not break bones, but they can certainly tear down. They can destroy a person's reputation. In some cases, they can even destroy a person's life. We must be guarded as Christians with our speech. The power of the tongue, friends, is great. And we must choose, as we open our mouths each time, is that power going to be used for good or for evil? I want you to notice Proverbs 18 and verse 21 very quickly. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs writer says there, and I want you to notice what he talks about concerning the tongue. The Proverbs writer says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. Friends, your words can lead someone down the road to life, or they can lead someone down the road to death. Your words have that type of power. And having that type of power, friends, we have to be careful concerning those things. In James chapter 3 and verse 10, we learn there that the words that we speak can be a blessing or a curse to others. With the power of the tongue in mind, let us notice some things here. Number one, we're going to notice that the tongue must be brought under control. Number two, we're going to notice some ways that the tongue should not be used. And number three, some ways that it should be used. Number one, the tongue must be brought under control. Notice what James says in James 3, talking about in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a King James Version says they're perfect man. I believe the English Standard says they're mature And I think another version, I'm not sure if it's the New King James or the American Standard, that says they're a complete man. All meaning the same thing. Now let's notice that verse again. I want us to notice here, substitute mature or complete for perfect as we read it. For many things we offend often, any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man. The same is a complete man. Friends, a person that claims to be spiritually mature, guess what he's going to have control of? He's going to have control of his tongue. He's going to learn when to open his mouth and when to bite that tongue. When he needs to keep his mouth shut. We need to understand that as Christians, we must bring the tongue under control. If a man cannot bridle his tongue, his religion, James says, is vain. James 1 and verse 26. As well as James 3, 10 through 12. His religion is vain. What does that mean? Friends, you think about it. The man that claims to be a Christian, then he runs off and he tells every bit of gossip that he has, that's not a Christian. His religion is vain. A man that claims to be a Christian and then goes over here and curses a blue streak, that man's religion is vain. He's got to get his tongue under control. He has to mature spiritually. Friends, we learn from the book of James as well that religion has to come from the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Friends, if we're thinking about certain things, eventually those things are going to become manifested. And a lot of times it's going to be manifested in what we talk about, isn't it? What do you talk about when you talk to others? Most of the time you talk about one of your interests, right? You talk to me very long, sooner or later the conversation is going to get around to one of two things. It's going to get around to the gospel. It's going to get around to hunting, or it's going to get around to playing ball. Those are my interests. Those are the things that I think about. Those are the things that are on my mind, and so that's what we talk about, right? Friends, you think about it. If somebody continually is thinking about something, it's going to become manifested, isn't it? And it's going to be manifested in their words, what they talk about. And when we talk about God's Word, friends, we're going to claim to be a Christian. We've got to be on guard concerning our speech because the tongue is a reflection of the heart. It's not what goes into a man, right, that defileth a man, but what? What comes out. Friends, be careful of the tongue because just as that ship is led by the helm, the tongue can determine your destination. It can determine whether one hears, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," on the last day, or, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The tongue has that kind of power. So how do we get control of our tongue? How do we tame the tongue? How do we do that? Friends, we do that by learning to control our minds. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are we putting into our minds? We're putting in filth, trash, or we're putting those things in that are holy, that are wholesome. Well, what ought we be putting into our minds? Friends, we've got to make a conscious effort to control our minds. We have to pray concerning our speech, our minds. We must fill our minds with the Word of God and think upon those things, as Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely. Those are the things that must be on our minds. And friends, once the tongue is under control, it can, upon our command then, be used for specific purposes. We have a responsibility as Christians to control our tongue. And once it's under control, friends, we must remember that it's not to be used, number one, for evil. It's not to be used for evil. In several locations in the New Testament, we read that men, that people, Christians, are not to be busybodies, or not to be backbiters, and so forth. You know, an effective way that I have found of keeping folks from talking to me about someone else is to write down what they have to say and then ask them to sign it. It works. They don't want to come to me with gossip anymore. I don't want to hear it. And neither should you, friend. The next time someone says, "Hey, have you heard about so-and-so?" What should our answer be? No, and I don't want to. Do you want to know this about this person? No, sir, I don't. It may be true, it may not be, but a lot of the times that's none of my business. And friends, I ought not be going around talking to other people like that either. What if it is true? What if I saw it with my own, I saw this person doing this with my own eyes? Well, for one thing, if it was wrong, I need to go talk to them. For something else, I don't need to be talking to someone else about it without having talked to them. And what good is it going to do me or them to talk to someone else about those things and spread a rumor? And what if I do tell the truth to someone else, but they get a word wrong, and they tell it to this person, and they go and tell it to this person, and they get another word wrong? Pretty soon, the blue fox drove a red truck becomes the green fox drove a blue bumper car. It's not the same thing anymore. Cannot be used to speak evil. It doesn't need to be used to speak lies. How did Jesus refer to the Pharisees concerning certain lies? He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Revelation 21, verse 8 lets us know that liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. The tongue should not be used to speak lies. The tongue should not be used to speak angry words. I can't tell you how excited I am and how much I'm looking forward to Wednesday night's lesson for Brother Michael Live. Be angry and sin not. Friends, when we gain control of our tongues, we need to be careful when we get angry. You ever been angry and you fly off the handle, so to speak, and you say something that you regret later, and you go and say to that person, "You know, I didn't really mean that, friends." Again, you have to think about that. Did you mean it? You thought it. At that moment, you meant it. Sometimes it's better to bite the tongue than allow it to fly off on its own, without thinking through the consequences of your words. The tongue should not be used to speak evil, to speak lies, or to use angry words. What should the tongue then be used to do once we've gained control of it? Once we've matured to the point that we're able to bridle the whole body, able to bridle the tongue, friends, it ought to, number one, be used to preach the gospel to others, speaking the truth in love. Our speech is to be seasoned with salt, the Scriptures say. Why do you use salt anyway? I love salt. Ashley can make a dish and it be seasoned to her taste, and I still got to put more salt on it. And nothing against her cooking. It's great. I just like my salt. What does salt do for our food? It makes it more palatable. It brings out the flavor, right? It makes it to where we can actually swallow it. You ever tried to eat a whole lot of something without any seasoning on it? It doesn't work very well. It's hard to get it down. Our speech is to be seasoned with salt. Friends, as we talk to others, let's choose our words carefully concerning the gospel. We are to stand for the truth. We are to talk to others concerning the truth. But notice, we are to speak the truth in love. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Ephesians 4:14 and 15, Psalm 119 and 172 and Romans 1 and verse 16. Speak the truth in love. In a manner of speaking, what good is it going to do a person? What good is it going to do you to go around and bashing people in the head with your Bible? You're not going to get anywhere, are you? But if they know that you love them, and you tell them the truth, and you speak it in love, and they know that you love them, how much more likely are they to be receptive? Speak the truth in love. Our tongues are to be used to build others up. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Edify one another. That verse that Luke read for us this morning. How are our words to be used? How do we use our tongue sometimes? Sometimes, you know, we use them to tear people down, right? Is that how they ought to be used? Not at all. Friends, we ought to be wanting to build rather than tear down when we talk to someone else. Rather than say something negative, why not think of something positive to say to them? Let's build one another up. We ought to use our tongues to worship God in prayer and in song. James 5, verse 16, Ephesians 5, 19. Let's use our tongues as they ought to be used. As we read James chapter 3, and James gives devotion there to the tongue. What do we learn? The main point that James stresses there is to get control of it. Get control of your speech. Get control of your words. Think about the consequences of what you're about to say. Don't fly off the handle. I read a quote the other day concerning that particular saying, fly off the handle. I forget who said it, but he said that those that fly off the handle often make bad landings. How true is that? Be careful concerning your angry words. Friends, let us as Christians get control of our speech, of how we talk to one another, about one another, with one another. Let's season our speech with salt. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, the tongue has to be controlled. We've got to put a bridle on it as we do the horse. We've got to be able to use it to guide us in the way that we ought to go as the ship's helm. And friends, we've got to be careful that we don't start a fire that we can't put out. The tongue has to be controlled and used not to speak evil, lies, or utter words of anger, but to preach the truth with love and patience, to build others up, and to worship our Father in heaven. Friends, truly life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have a choice. We can use our tongues as instruments of evil, causing spiritual death for ourselves and others, or we can use our tongues as instruments of God, thereby proclaiming eternal life for ourselves and proclaiming the gospel and the hope of eternal life to others. Friends, let's choose wisely. What would you choose this morning? Friends, may we as Christians, as proclaimers of the gospel of God, may we all have wholesome tongues, which are the tree of life, Proverbs 15 and verse 4. And may no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4, verse 29, once more. Friends, guard your speech. Guard your tongue. Because it can determine your destination. What is your destination this morning? Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friend, if the answer to that is yes, that you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, and as of this moment,
your destination is an eternal hell.
For the gospel is very clear on what one must do for his destination to be changed. For his destination to be heaven with God. The gospel tells us that we must believe in Jesus Christ, that we must repent of our sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. It's all right there in your Bible. Would you change your destination this morning? Friend, are you here having done those things? Have at one time changed your destination, but now you've turned about and you started back on the road to destruction. Friend, come home. Get back on the right road. If you have a need, will you come now as we stand and as we sing?